What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show, and I'm going to start right off the bat. If you're having trouble hearing and seeing us, we are having major internet problems on the island of Oahu. And basically, we have two fiber optic cables that will connect us to the mainland. One of them has gone down. They're trying to fix it. Apparently, the problem is on the mainland side. Everybody's pointing fingers. It's just another symptom of our collapsing infrastructure here in the United States of America, where all this technology that we pioneered is now basically to be found in other countries. And the United States is rotting away on the vine because, after all, we had to spend all that money to keep the Wall Street bankers out of jail. And who cares if the internet is collapsing here in the United States of America? There's nothing but a bunch of pesky bloggers out there who won't believe what the government's telling them anyway. So we're trying to run both our Justin TV feed. We're trying to run through RBN. So far, it sounds like RBN is doing really good. We're going to try and do our show. But if the net deteriorates and goes away, we're going to cut the show and go back to playing polka music or something like that. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Let me repeat that. Got rented lips this morning. 800-313-9443. And I am going to invite people to call in today because I don't have as much show prep done as I normally would. We were trying to basically run the website. I tethered my iPhone to a netbook, and we're just basically out here doing all kinds of stuff like that. So, join us here on the air, and we'll try and make sure that we're dealing with, these internet problems. Apparently, AT&T goes through satellite, and, of course, connections from Hawaii going to west to Asia seem to be okay. It is only from Hawaii to the mainland that we're dealing with. All right, obviously the big news is Libya and the reactors at Fukushima. We're going to be talking about both of these things. The United States is not off to a really good start right now because of all the mistakes they're making for all the so-called precision bombing and surgical strikes and stuff. It's getting a little ridiculous. The U.S. is apparently used a bunch of cruise missiles to blow up some hospitals, and now we're getting this very bizarre story that an Air Force jet crashed in a Libyan village. A bunch of Libyans ran up to greet the pilot as a hero. Hi, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're fighting against Gaddafi. The rescue helicopter sent to get the pilot shot the villagers. Not exactly a way to win the hearts and minds of the people that you're invading in order to steal their oil. So we're off to a really, really bad start here. And I don't think the Libyans are going to be welcoming our people with daisies and flowers and roses or anything like that. The consequences of the U.S. invasion of Libya are starting to reverberate around the world. Over in Russia, Medvedev and Putin have had a very rare public disagreement. Normally, any disagreements they have, they discuss in private, which is how you do it when you've got a command structure and chain of command. You never disagree where people are going to see you, but apparently they're having this comment going on where Putin is saying that basically the United States' war on Muslims is a medieval crusade, and he's absolutely correct on that. Medvedev basically went out and said that comment is unacceptable, and so they're kind of thrashing back and forth. But tempers are very, very high all over the world about this. And ultimately, it comes down to a lot of people are starting to say, why are we doing this? Why are we in another war? The United States is broke. The dollar is collapsing. We can't even keep our internet connections running here in the United States of America. Why are we invading yet another country to steal more oil when at the same time they're saying oil and coal and carbon dioxide are a major, major problem for the planet? It doesn't make any sense, and yet they continue to do that. Okay, I'm hearing the music. Going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Unfortunately, our internet connection is deteriorating. We've had to turn off the Justin TV feed in order to try and continue with the Republic Broadcasting Network. But their feed to me, which includes your phone calls, is becoming very, very garbled. So I don't know how well this is going to work. I'm going to keep going for a little while longer and talk about some topics. But if we come back from a commercial break and it's playing music, you know, please bear with us. We hope we'll be back tomorrow with our normal capability. Anyway, a lot of people inside the United States government are starting to stand up and say, this is wrong what we're doing in Libya. Kucinich is out there basically saying that Obama's out of control, that the executive branch has broken free of all the checks and balances the Constitution is supposed to impose on them. Now, we know under the War Powers Act, Obama has the authority to just order the army any place in the world for 30 days. Then Congress must approve what is being done. Now, unfortunately, in recent history, Congress seldom restrains the president, and that's exactly what Kucinich is saying, that we can almost expect a rubber stamp on any atrocity and war crime 30 days from the start of hostilities. And again, it's just an absolute mess up. If Obama really cared about the Libyan people, the correct action would have been the instant that Israel sent those 50,000 mercenaries into Libya, you call Tel Aviv and you say, you get those mercenaries out or we stop payment on all those checks coming from the American taxpayer to Israel, which Israel doesn't even really need. They're just money junkies. It's one set of money junkies inside the United States taking money to give to the other money junkies over in Tel Aviv. They don't really need it. They're not the only democracy in the region. It's becoming arguable they're not even a democracy to begin with. Certainly not where the Palestinians are concerned. Ron Paul is out there saying that what Obama is doing in Libya might be unconstitutional because the War Powers Act is only in case the United States or its immediate interests are attacked, and that did not happen. We're simply sticking our nose in to basically, you know, take advantage of the upset in Libya as a justification to go in and grab some more oil so that we'll have a nice, secure supply of oil to cover the shortfalls that will result from the coming invasion of Iran, which Israel keeps ordering our government to do, and our government keeps saying, well, we'll get there, we'll get there, we'll get there. All right, let's see. We got some callers on the line here. Let's go first with Thomas in Sweden and then go back up here to Mark in California. So Thomas first. Aloha, Thomas. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Okay, Michael. You hear me okay?
You're breaking up, but let's give it a try. Just, you know, use very slow words, and we'll see if we can get this to work.
Okay. You talked about money junkies. I just want to say Sweden is itching to send 10 of its Gripen fighter jets to Libya just to get to show them off in hopes that some other country will buy them because we need the money.
Okay.
Here.
I just lost Thomas in Sweden. Are you still hearing me in the control room? No, we just went. In response to your comment, Thomas, yeah, anytime there's going to be one of these wars, every country that manufactures and sells weapons wants to get in there because it's like a big sales convention. We can kill more people for less money than our competitors. And they're in there basically demonstrating what their weapons can really, really do. And it's just a big sales convention. Oh, there's a war on in Africa. Let's send all of our latest and greatest. And they're going to be down there proving what really lethal machines that they're all making. And so I'm not surprised that anybody with a weapons export industry, they're trying to find some reason to get down there and show off whatever it is that they're going to be selling at the bazaars next week, next year, rather. All right, so I guess we lost our callers on that last little brouhaha that we had there. And again, I apologize. I don't know that we're going to do the full show today. We're just having so many problems here. Okay, the Nobel Committee, which suffered heaps of scorn, ridicule, and abuse when they granted Barack Obama the Peace Prize before he'd ever actually done anything in office, has now been asked to rescind the award. Basically, to take back the Peace Prize. I don't know that Obama will send it back. He doesn't strike me as the sort of person of honor who would return it when requested. And you know, it's a little too late for the credibility of the Nobel Committee. They should not have awarded it in the first place. They shouldn't have awarded one to Henry Kissinger. They shouldn't have awarded one to Shimon Peres, and they certainly shouldn't have given one to Al Gore and the IPCC for trying to lie the world into carbon tax. The Nobel Committee, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, when I was a kid, the Nobel Prize, wow, that was it. You know, because I wanted to be a scientist when I was a kid, and I was a scientist for a while. I worked for NASA, and everyone said, oh, the Nobel Prize, that's it. That's like the Academy Award for Best Picture of the Year. Then you find out how politicized all that stuff is, and you begin to lose credibility, and you realize it isn't really an award on merit. It's an award based on who you're sucking up to in life. And I'm trying to remember the name of that actress who used to say that if you want a guaranteed Oscar, just do a movie about the Holocaust and you'll get the statue. And it's absolutely true. And I look back at last year's, not the ones we just completed, but the year before, the Academy Awards, and, you know, Hurt Locker, which was this pro-war, go and get them, blood and guts, nothing movie that, frankly, I didn't think was all that great. Got the Best Picture Oscar, and Avatar, which in my opinion is the best movie ever made, just got snubbed because, oh, we can't talk about peace and we can't talk about evil corporations going into other countries with military force and sucking out the mineral wealth underneath them, because that's what we're really doing in Afghanistan and Iraq and now Libya. Okay, we got a caller back on the line, Mark in California. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Aloha, Mike, and aloha, WRH listeners. What's on my mind is this idea that despite his desire to be a good human being, Obama is being coerced by other forces within the government, and whether you think that's a viable reality, such as DynCorp, who has a backdoor to all of the intelligence materials and is probably using control files on people.
Well, I think that's been sort of a tool of domestic statecraft going all the way back to J. Edgar Hoover, who maintained his position as head of the FBI for his entire life because he had blackmail information on people like John F. Kennedy and the rest of them. And to this very day, there are still suspicions that somebody that Hoover was blackmailing was ultimately behind his demise. So, that kind of stuff goes on all the time. I mean, I'm personally of the opinion the only reason the United States government is just giving Israel everything they want is because Israel is blackmailing the U.S. government with 9/11. Because it just doesn't make any sense that the government of the United States of America would destroy the United States of America in order to just continue to give more money and more weapons and more cover at the United Nations to Israel here.
Can you comment on the specifics of the DynCorp case? I'm under the understanding that as the contractor who built the software and hardware systems for the NSA, the FBI, and the CIA, that they have a corporate backdoor which allows them to utilize this information. Further, they've been implicated in the sex slave trade in the Balkans as well as other areas. What do you think of that?
Well, as far as backdoors, that's kind of almost a given these days. We know that the reason the Israelis' big spy ring back on 9/11 was detected was they were putting backdoors into the phone tapping systems that they were installing on the American phone system. They were using the information from the billing service, which is an Israeli company, Amdocs, to do traffic analysis. So I would have absolutely, as far as DynCorp is concerned, yeah, they've been caught in a lot of this stuff. They go into these other countries and they engage in practices which would be illegal here in the United States of America. They're certainly in a gray area in the areas where they're carrying out this stuff. And absolutely, I would presume that they're probably bugging and rigging all of these software and hardware systems. These days, it's kind of hard to find a company that isn't engaging in that kind of chicanery. I know that during Desert Storm, the Iraq's air defense network was crippled by a virus that had been sent into Iraq inside a printer, where somebody had gotten in and just tampered with the printer's firmware. And when it was on the net, it sent all this malware out there. So I don't have any other specifics about DynCorp beyond that, but I absolutely would have no doubt that that sort of thing is going on.
So we have to move beyond elections and really look to topple corporate structures now, don't we?
Well, unfortunately, yeah, because we don't have honest elections in this country. We just absolutely do not. What happened in 2000 in Florida made this issue visible to a lot of people. But we had, the Collier brothers did a wonderful book going back to the Clinton years. We know from the HBO documentary Hacking Democracy that this stuff is possible. All of these electronic voting systems that are now being mandated by the federal government, they're all open to fraud and rigging. And we know it has to be intentional because one of the initial companies that were making these machines was Diebold, which makes teller machines that never lose a penny from one end of the country to the other. And yet they come up with a voting system with at least 12 known ways of changing the election outcome. That has to be intentional. That cannot be an accident. We're the nation that put men on the moon. And you're telling me our election system cannot be made cheat-proof? I don't buy that for one second.
So there's two populist activities that are coming up before the break here. On the 28th, we are going to do sit-ins to surround the Federal Reserve Banks in the United States. And on the 30th, we're having an everyone walk-out day, nobody-go-to-work day. We're going to try that and see how we do.
All right, that sounds really good. We're coming up on the end of this segment. We're trying to get Justin TV back up here. And if I sound distracted, Mark, it's because I'm dealing with tech issues at the same time I'm trying to talk to you, and I apologize if you did not have my full attention during this phone call. But it's starting to look like we're getting our internet back. Our signal quality is good with RBN, and I've turned the Justin TV feedback on. So hopefully these things are going to start working correctly. We should be in a break right now, shouldn't we? All right, we're going to break right now, and I guess we're off the clock. And just bear with us. We're trying to feed the hamster in the little wire wheel here. There's the music. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back here with Matt in Ohio after these commercials.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. It is looking more and more like our normal internet service has just come back to life out here. We've got the Justin TV feedback on, and let's see. Looks like we've got a caller waiting on the line. Is Matt in Ohio? Aloha, Matt. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to get your take on one aspect of the Middle East. I found it interesting, as you had covered over the past couple of weeks, Israel's policy towards the, I guess, unrest or the protests, revolutions, whatever, particularly in Libya, was to send some mercenaries down, I believe, if I remember correctly, to help Gaddafi or at least oppose the rebels.
Yes.
But now we see NATO and the U.S. Apparently opposing Gaddafi. So where do you what's your take on that? Is there a split in policy between
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you just started breaking up again. I guess I spoke too soon about our internet being back. I think what happened is the United States basically said to Gaddafi and to Israel, we're going to wait a week to see if you can put this thing down. But after that, you know, we're going to have to come in and act like we still believe in freedom and democracy. And so I think that's really what happened. It became very obvious that Gaddafi was exaggerating his successes against the revolution. He was unable to take the stronghold at Benghazi, even with all of Israel's mercenaries. And so I think basically they've just decided, okay, it's time for Gaddafi to go. We'll put a new puppet in his place, and life will go back to being the way it was before. I'm sure from Israel's point of view, given that they're getting ready to start exploiting oil shale in their territories, which is going to toxify their own water system, they're probably gazing very avariciously at Libya's just magnificent freshwater irrigation and aqueduct system, and saying, you know, we can run a pipe from that over to Israel, and we'll have all the water that we need, and we'll let the Palestinians drink the groundwater from the oil shale. So I think it was basically a case of wanting to give Israel and Gaddafi a chance to keep things stable. It didn't work. Now the United States is trying to basically recover its public image of standing for freedom and democracy by coming in on the side of the revolutionaries. But I think it really is just about a chance of controlling the oil, guaranteeing oil flow ahead of the invasion of Iran, access to the fresh water supplies. I don't see the United States and NATO as really siding with the Libyan people, especially because they sat there and waited while the Israeli mercenaries slaughtered thousands and thousands of the Libyan people. So this is really just about seeing whose puppet government is going to be installed there in Libya. And Israel had their chance, and I don't think, you know, it reached the point where it was becoming very, very obvious that the United States had backed down to let Israel try and go in and beat down the Libyan people for Gaddafi. And I think the political pressure just reached the point where they said, we got to act like we support freedom and democracy here. And I think that's what happened.
Okay, gotcha. That seems to be consistent with the fact that, you know, our Fifth Fleet is sitting in the Gulf of, or the off the coast of Bahrain, watching protesters get shot, and nothing is done there, even though there's this big drumbeat to militarily support the protesters in Libya. Why support one and not support the other when ostensibly they're under the same circumstances?
Well, the circumstances are very different. It's all about, you know, protecting U.S. interests. If Saudi Arabia's forces are in Bahrain at the request of the United States government to put down the revolution, because if the revolution against the Bahrain ruling family succeeds, it is entirely possible that the United States will lose its naval base on Bahrain, where the Fifth Fleet is homeported. And that's why the fleet is just sitting off the coast and waiting to see what happens. The United States has got this public face of supporting freedom and democracy, but they only support freedom and democracy when the country is basically in agreement with whatever the United States wants to be doing. And a classic example of that would be the Palestinian elections back in 2006, where everybody made a big show of saying, see, we're bringing freedom and democracy to the people of Palestine, and the Palestinians voted Hamas into power. And Israel and the United States said, no, you're not supposed to do that. You were supposed to vote for our guy over there at the Palestinian Authority, Abbas. He was supposed to win. And so they pretended the election didn't happen and imposed a starvation blockade, and things have sort of deteriorated since then. So, you know, the United States is going to basically support whoever's going to keep the oil flowing to the United States of America. If Gaddafi could have put down the revolution in the last week, the United States would have said, well, you know, sorry we got there late, but gosh, gee whiz, we missed our opportunity. But it dragged on for way too long. And it's like I said about the potential for a revolution here in the United States of America. If there is a revolution in the United States, it doesn't have to win. It doesn't have to prevail. It doesn't have to march into Washington, D.C. with torches and pitchforks. It only has to survive long enough for the rest of the world to get the message that the revolution is not going to go away. And then all of a sudden the money starts fleeing and people start saying, okay, this is a new reality. And, you know, you cannot execute an entire nation and then declare victory. It just doesn't work that way.
Right. Yeah, that's actually an encouraging point. You know, the fact that we don't necessarily have to come out victorious, that we, you know, basically just have to persist.
That's exactly right.
Let's see. So what's your take as far as, do you think the NATO the NATO forces will be successful in putting another basic puppet in Libya, or do you think the people will get a chance to put in a government that will be responsive to their concerns?
Unfortunately,
how do you think that's going to play out?
I think we're looking at another Afghanistan and another Iraq. The United States is going to be there, you know, killing people and having our young Americans killed for the next 8 to 10 years, you know, however long it takes to suck out all the oil and all of the fresh water. Ultimately, the goal is still to start a war against Iran. Putin is right. This is a new holy crusade. The Christians and the Jews are going to whoop on the Muslims, and Iran is the last final stronghold, and that's where they're going. And I think Libya was conquered or is being conquered to use their oil to cover the shortfalls from the attack on Iran. We got to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. The phone lines are empty, 800-313-9443. We're still experiencing some net issues out here. It may just simply be that everybody who wasn't working earlier today is trying to get on the net now and get things done. But I'm actually having trouble reaching my own website right now to get to the chat room. So we'll just keep working on all these things. Now, in other parts of the world, over in Yemen, President Ali Abdullah Saleh is basically now saying that he is ready to step down by the year's end. He's playing the same thing Mubarak was doing in Egypt. Yes, you're right. I'm doing a terrible job. I should leave. I'll leave at the end of the year. And, of course, that didn't work in Egypt. I don't think it's going to work in Yemen. But it does indicate that his political position is definitely deteriorating rapidly. Over at Côte d'Ivoire, basically there is a huge uprising there. What is perceived as a call to war over the weekend, people are starting to say, we're going to get out of here. We don't want to do that. There's going to be a civil war there. It's just all over the place. All right, I want to talk a little bit, obviously, about the Fukushima reactor accident. It continues to be a serious, serious problem here. There have been more large aftershocks this morning off the coast of Japan, 6+. It's looking like there may be another swarm, and hopefully it's just a little afterquake burp, and it's not the run-up to a new major quake. Because remember, in the weeks before the big quake hit, we were seeing a lot of activity around that area of that fault system that runs between those three plates there off the coast of Japan. So hopefully this will die down, but there could be some more problems coming for that area. Now, meanwhile, we're starting to see more and more media, including in the United States, take a very critical look at the response to this disaster, both by the government of Japan and by the Fukushima reactor power plant owners, TEPCO. We're even seeing in the Los Angeles Times this morning where Los Angeles is saying, we're not getting the straight dope. And I understand why. The west coast of the United States is now seeing detectable levels of these radioisotopes, and they're worried. They understand that there is really no such thing as a safe dosage of radiation. They're seeing all these lame pieces of propaganda on the media, like Ann Coulter's radiation is good for you. And they're seeing over in Japan, the radiation levels on the real-time monitors are really, really climbing. Now, the official status of Fukushima as of this morning is that the fuel rods in reactors 1, 2, and 3 are all either fully or partially exposed. They are not in coolant. They are exposed to the air. The situation is getting extreme. 20 kilometers from Fukushima, about 12 miles, radiation levels are 1,600 times the normal level. That is serious stuff. They're getting up to like 161 microsievert per hour. That is a dangerous level of exposure 12 miles from the reactor plant. And the government has basically said nobody is allowed within 12 miles of the power station except the people trying to deal with the crisis. And people out to 30 kilometers are being told to stay indoors. Yesterday, Cuba was telling their people, stay out of the rain unless you're fully covered. Don't go outdoors if you don't need to. That's how worried they are about this. Meanwhile, the Japanese government, as we reported over the last couple of days, we had this situation where it was being reported that the Japanese government had found contaminated food in the farms and dairy facilities around those three prefectures. And they said, yeah, the radiation's contaminating the food. Well, the government came out today and said, just dust it off. If you get food with radiation, just dust it all off. And that's one of the most stupid things that you can imagine, because first of all, these very, very tiny particles, you know, even just the process of attempting to rinse them off, the pressure from the water will just drive these tiny particles right into the skin of the vegetables. Now, if you want to rinse them off and then peel them, maybe that will help. But what is really on display here is a very callous disregard for the seriousness of the situation, where they're just saying, oh, it's, yeah, just dust off the contamination and everything will be fine. Well, what? You've dusted it off your food. It's still in your home. It's on the counter. It's on your hands. The situation is really dire, and it seems that the reaction of the Japanese and American governments, and certainly American corporations like General Electric, is to just say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. All we can do is control the public reaction. We don't want to panic. We don't want people selling General Electric stock, so we're just going to go on telling everybody that everything is just okay. And that is just simply not true. Now, finally, Japan is starting to deal with an issue that I was talking about over the last couple of days, and that has to do with the seawater problem. They've been pouring water all over these reactors to try and cool them down, water bombing from the air. There has been rainstorms at the site, and all of this water is basically running over the ground and into the ocean. And TEPCO, that owns the power plant and is obviously going to be the target of massive lawsuits for years into the future, are basically showing that they're taking water samples and saying, yeah, there's radiation flowing into the ocean from Fukushima, but it's just, you know, no big deal, and it's, you know, oddly enough, the guy who's the spokesman for TEPCO is coming out there and saying that the contamination of seawater is not a problem at Fukushima because it wasn't a problem following the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that is one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard, and for the very simple reason that following the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the only people with the scientific equipment to measure radioactivity were the American weapons scientists. There was nobody double-checking or backstopping them, and we know that the radiological effects of those bombs were downplayed intentionally by the United States government in order to quell rising public concern over the runaway dangers of using these horrible weapons. You know, people are a little concerned about weapons that go out and destroy the enemy, but when you have weapons that basically the after effects can turn around and come and attack us, you know, people got really upset. And between the creation of the American atomic bomb and the Soviet acquisition of the nuclear bomb secrets, the U.S. government policy was atomic bombs are harmless. You know, it's a big bang and then it's over and you've got nothing to worry about. Then, of course, when the Russians got them, everyone starts saying, oh yeah, the radiation's a problem. You got to start building fallout shelters, which everybody did. I remember clearly from my childhood seeing people who had fallout shelters in their homes. Now they've all been turned into wine cellars, thank goodness, and they make very good wine cellars and storm cellars and so forth. But yeah, the government is basically going to say whatever they need to say to get what they want, which is the radiation is harmless here and it's bad over there. It's bad when the Russians have it. It's bad when the terrorists have a suitcase bomb. But four reactors melt down, it's not a problem. Trust us. Just dust that glowing stuff off your food and, you know, have a nice little salad you can eat in the dark. Meanwhile, the workers at Fukushima are acknowledging that the spent fuel pools are becoming a major issue, if not the dominant issue, hampering efforts at the plant. Because there is so much radiation coming from the spent rods that it is limiting the ability of workers to get back into to the power plants, to the reactors, to try and get the situation under control. They do have electricity finally on the site. They've run the cables to hook up to the Japanese power grid and get adequate electricity for the cooling systems to work. Unfortunately, now they're finding the cooling systems in some cases don't work, even with electricity, and they're having to deal with that. And behind all of it is the fact that the radiation limits levels are so high from the spent fuel that, you know, it's a major issue, and it's just pouring into the air here. Now, oddly enough, there was a very interesting situation. You've probably heard me mentioning that these reactors were slated for decommissioning this month, and that absolutely is true. But oddly enough, apparently the Japanese governing authority for nuclear power had given TEPCO the authorization to run these reactors for an additional 10 years, despite warnings that these reactors' designs were faulty and that they weren't really able to deal with now understood levels of seismicity and tsunami. So again, it comes down to when these decisions get made by people who are thinking in terms of their financial implications instead of their safety, the wrong decisions get made. I always think back to the launch of Challenger, where the scientists who actually made those solid rocket boosters were saying, do not launch with frozen O-rings. And NASA management, the new NASA management, the MBAs who took over from the PhDs, said, no, we've got a schedule to keep, and we've got the president watching us, we've got the teacher in space, and a lot of TV coverage here, and that really is far more important than your concerns about silly little cracked O-rings. You know, besides, we've had cracked O-rings before, and it was never a problem. And Challenger went up and banks. Same thing with Columbia. You know, the Columbia crew got budgeted to death. They were trying to save so much money, they didn't include the little robot arm with the TV camera on it. They didn't include a single EVA suit for somebody to go out there and take a look at what was going on that leading edge. They didn't have enough fuel on board to make it to the space station as a safe haven. They were literally budget cut to death. All the things that were supposed to be there to keep the astronauts safe weren't there. And you're going to see that every time that you see this scientific process put under the control of people who are thinking purely in terms of dollar signs. It's going to happen every single time. Meanwhile, I do have to take a public issue with Michio Kaku, who is running around the media like crazy saying, Chernobyl option, Chernobyl option, Chernobyl option. And he's getting a lot of free press, and he's getting his face on TV, which he really likes, and he is not making any sense. First of all, the Chernobyl entombment did not work. It's still leaking. They're getting ready to build this huge machine to roll over it and try another attempt at covering and containing the disaster. So on that grounds alone, the Chernobyl option really doesn't make a lot of sense because the Chernobyl option didn't work at Chernobyl. Second, as I've been saying for this last week, the Fukushima nuclear power station is right on the beach of the Pacific Ocean. And they're now admitting radiation is leaking into the water. And it's just a few feet above the water table. You can do all the entombment all over the top that you want, but that's not going to prevent these highly radioactive contaminants from simply percolating down through the soil until they hit the water table and flow out into the Pacific Ocean through fissures in the ocean floor. There's no way to contain it from the bottom side, and that's where most of the leakage is going to be happening. At Chernobyl, it's basically on a chunk of ground, and there's a river nearby that's contaminated, I might add, but you're not talking about an entire ocean that covers most of the... Yeah, I mean, it's the largest ocean on planet Earth is getting all this stuff spilled into it. And they keep saying, oh, it'll disperse, it'll diffuse, it won't matter because it's just, you know, it's just a little radioactivity in a very, very big ocean. And if we cut off the spill right now, there might be merit to that. But we know that that's not going to happen. This is going to go on leaking for decade after decade after decade. You know, and first a little salamander gets caught in it, it's going to turn into Godzilla, and it will come in and stomp on Tokyo. And for those of you who are fans of Japanese horror movies, that was the original theory of where Godzilla came from. It was radioactive fallout from the bombs, and it woke up this lizard and so forth and so on. But Michio Kaku is out there, you know, waving his fame and face around. And I'm sorry, he's an idiot. I have no doubt they'll probably do the entombment as a PR stunt to make it look like they're trying to solve the problem, but it's not going to solve the problem. It absolutely won't. Reader wrote in and said, looking at how dense politicians, bankers, corporate penny pinchers, and media personalities like Ann Coulter are, maybe we should be using them to try and bury the reactors and stop all the radiation. Well, maybe. I'm not sure it's the same kind of density. But on the other hand, what have we got to lose by trying? Okay, let's take all those Wall Street CEOs. I mean, actually, that's not a bad idea. Look at how much gold they're wearing that they bought with the money they got from the taxpayers, those $100,000 wristwatches and all those rings and chains. Gold is a very dense material, and it can stop radiation. So let's take all those Wall Street bankers who screwed America out of that $14 trillion worth and just, you know, wrap them in all their gold chains and gold jewelry and just pile them up against the reactor, that might succeed in stopping the radioactive disaster. Maybe not, but again, what have we got to lose by trying? Now, Helen Thomas is continuing to make headlines, as it were, with her latest interview in Playboy magazine. And yes, Claire, I only read Playboy for the articles, I promise you. I've never looked at those pictures. But Helen Thomas is basically out there saying that Jews control the White House and the Congress. And we all know that she is absolutely accurate. Every politician who runs for the White House or Congress, what's the first thing they do? They go over to Israel. Sarah Palin's over there now sucking up to Benjamin Netanyahu, saying, Israel's got nothing to apologize for. You guys are great. You guys are wonderful. Can I have the White House, please? Can I have the White House, please, 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 please? And she's davening to Israel for permission to be, you know, a candidate here in 2012. It's very, very shameful. But I guess anybody who's a politician in the United States of America now has to be born without a sense of shame in order to grovel before a foreign power to run for political office here in the United States of America. But getting back to Helen Thomas, you know, she's already suffered all the worst that the Israeli lobby can do. They took away her position at the White House press corps, and they basically relegated her to a minor, you know, newspaper where she's still working. Not that she needs to work at her age. You know, she could be retired. She could, you know, just stay quiet and have a nice, calm life. And that's not Helen Thomas. But what she has that they can't take away from her is name value. We all know the name Helen Thomas. We all know the name stands for courage in the face of political adversity and censorship and dictatorship by a foreign power. And so when she gets up there in Playboy and she says that Congress and the White House are controlled by Jewish Israeli interests, you listen to her, because we all know she's absolutely right. AIPAC uses money they get from the U.S. taxpayers or from crooks like Bernie Madoff. That's where a lot of that money came from. And they literally shaped the Congress to serve Israel, not the American people. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and 4 other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in God's plaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're still kind of dealing with some internet issues. I think we're a little bit better than we were, but I keep losing connection with our chat room. People are writing in and saying Justin TV keeps hanging up and freezing, but we do seem to have a good, stable signal for Republic Broadcasting. Which reminds me, for those of you who are listening to this show or trying to listen to this show on WWCR shortwave radio, after the top of the hour, you can get to the second hour of our program by going to republicbroadcasting.org. All righty, getting back to situation. People in the chat room are wondering about the radiation levels out here in Hawaii. The meter's actually down today. That's the good news. It went down to, it had been high the last couple of days, went down to what I would consider the high end of the normal range. Of course, we've had a lot of rain here, and probably cleared out the air, and people are saying, oh, well, I guess the radioactivity is all over the pineapples and the sugar cane, and we don't actually have a lot of that on this island anymore, but we do have lots of Pakalolo, which is probably now all radioactive. All righty, let's see. Hamas is protesting a plan by the United Nations to teach the Holocaust in Gaza schools. Now, I don't think it's any of the United Nations' business to determine the curriculum in any school anywhere on planet Earth, especially a curriculum based on some rather dubious historical provenance. And certainly, you know, against, you know, the desire by Hamas and the Palestinians to decide for themselves what their children will be taught. And I think this is another blatant pander to Israel to try and brainwash the people of Gaza that Israel somehow has a right to their ancestral lands for what the Germans theoretically did to them in the middle of the last century. I mean, if you really think about it, that's Israel's entire claim to steal the Palestinian lands. Oh, the Germans were rude to us. We must steal Palestine for a safe homeland. Actually, they had a safe homeland the instant World War II was over. Hitler was dead. The Nazis were gone. There was no more danger to the Jewish people right where they were living in Europe. The danger was gone. The United States helped extinct that danger. So they really didn't have a right to come down and steal the land from the Palestinians, except, of course, for the invisible man who lives in the clouds that nobody else can see or hear, except for that child molester in the funny robes up at the front of the room, who said, God tells me that we should go steal these other people's land. I mean, even David Ben-Gurion acknowledged that the Palestinians had nothing to do with what had happened to the Jewish people in Europe or Russia. It wasn't their fault. They had nothing to do with it. But hey, you know, we're going to come and take their land, and that's what we're going to do. So I understand why Hamas and the Palestinians do not care to have their children indoctrinated with tales about the Holocaust. For one thing, we're not sure the Orthodox story is accurate. Second of all, it is history from a long time ago, the middle of the last century. And the people who committed these atrocities, if in fact they happened as described, are all dead and gone. Can we please move the curriculum of our schools into the 21st century with the rest of us? Meanwhile, one of the many con artists who have made a fortune off of the Holocaust, even though being exposed as a complete fraud, is still being treated as a celebrity. Oh, wow, wasn't he clever? He fooled everybody with his Holocaust tales. Well, it's just another way of looking at the Holocaust. And even though the story is a fake, it reminds everybody of what a terrible thing it was, blah, 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 blah. All right, we got to take a station break. We'll be back with hour number two of our show after these words from our sponsors.